Welcome to What's Poppin'. My guest this week is Debbie Delgado. Debbie, thanks for being on the show.
You're very welcome. Glad to be here.
As always, Debbie, I'm starting out with the question of how long have you lived in the area?
I have lived in Fremont since 1986.
1986. And what brought you to Fremont? Because you're not quite that young.
Actually, what brought me to Fremont was my job when I was working with AT&T.
Hmm.
The San Ramon complex was starting being built.
Okay.
And I was transferred over to the San Ramon building.
Mm-hmm.
So easier for me to commute from Fremont than from Brisbane.
So you were in Brisbane before this?
Yes.
Okay. How long were you in Brisbane?
Lifetime.
Lifetime.
I was born in San Francisco, but raised in Brisbane.
And just recently, unfortunately, the family house burnt down, right?
Yes. Last February.
February.
Past February.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have roots in the area.
I do have roots.
So you've been in Fremont since 1986. How'd you get to Prince of Peace then?
I got to Prince of Peace from Rick, my husband.
Mm-hmm.
When my mom had her stroke,
mm-hmm.
she passed in 2012, but prior to that, you know, she had her stroke and
okay.
it was my responsibility to take care of her on the weekends.
Mm.
So I'd go every weekend.
Back to Brisbane.
Back to Brisbane.
Yeah.
Spend the night there and take care of her and give my sisters a break.
Mm.
They were doing it through the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
And just one night I came home and I was asking Rick. Rick was kind of, he was acting kind of funny.
Okay.
You know, and I was saying, well, what's up?
Yeah.
And he just was telling me about his venture in looking for a church.
Yeah.
And that he had visited several churches before he found Prince of Peace.
And you two really weren't attending worship anywhere else at this point.
No. I had kind of fallen out of the church.
Okay.
When my father died.
Mm.
Because basically, I think like a lot of people, they just don't understand when you're close, when someone's close to God.
Yeah.
Like my father was.
Yep.
And then, you know, he got cancer and he died. So I got back into the church through Rick.
Mm-hmm.
My first time here was great. I loved the way Pastor Zelt brought over his sermon.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. I really liked the church and grew into like liking the family
mm-hmm.
here and my church family.
Yeah. So how long ago was that?
I would have to say it's been maybe 5 years.
5 years since you guys have gotten here?
Rick before me.
Yeah.
Since 2013 for sure I know of because this is my first VBS shirt.
Okay. So probably 2012, 2013, yes. around there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it would have been, my mom was more or less likely still alive when I came in. So probably 2012.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So about 12, 14 years around there.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, longer than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty long. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Yes, exactly.
That's actually like a really good, like saying about 5 years. It only felt like it's been 5 years because it's gone. Gone well. Like
gone well.
You've grown your faith quite a bit since then, I'm sure,
yeah.
and grown closer to the Lord and have a family here and everything is great.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Switching gears slightly, what was your favorite working experience or job thus far?
I'd have to say when I went into the Army.
Okay.
1977 to 1980.
Doing what?
I was a Morse code interceptor.
Okay.
Basic training was in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to Fort Devens, Massachusetts for school training.
Yeah.
And I did my first 18 months service in Okinawa.
Yeah.
Intercepting the SR-75, mm-hmm. which is now retired.
Yeah.
And then finished it up in Texas.
Okay. Two questions. Mm-hmm. Right. First, do you still know Morse code?
Some.
Yeah.
But not a lot. I remember some of the letters.
Yeah.
But I'd have to go back and look at my notes.
It's like any language, right? If you don't use exactly. it,
you
lose it.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Any language is like that. The other thing is, what made it your most favorite work experience or job?
I think because the fact that I was able to travel, do some traveling, just meeting the people and the discipline of the Army.
What'd they call you again?
The Diddy Bop.
Yeah.
Super Dit.
Super Dit?
Or Super Dot, yeah. Because I was really fast in school.
Yeah.
I learned the Morse code really fast.
Okay.
Yeah, so Super Dit, yeah. I haven't thought about that in a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then just meeting the people, and I even saw Lee Marvin's brother, who was at the time General Stubblebine.
Really?
We had a parade, and
yeah,
he was the general that was in the parade at the time that we all had put on our dress uniforms. And yeah, General Stubblebine, Lee Marvin's brother.
It's very interesting. It also sounds like it's just a very unique job that you had, like very unlike anything else.
It was like you're living on your own. Mm-hmm. You have to do everything on your own, even though you're in the army and you live in the barracks, or you can live off. I think I lived off out of the barracks too for a while. Just like living on your own, you have to do everything yourself, and you're just disciplined as far as wearing a uniform
and the hours you have to keep,
following the rules and be there on time and the cadence you have to do. Well, not so much once you finish school. Mm-hmm. Not so much. There's not really any kind of cadence marching, but during school as a corporal, I had to lead the cadence a lot at school, and a lot of the guys there said, "Debbie, you really have to slow down a bit because we're not as short
too
as
fast.
You. We're not as short as you, and you know, you're going much too fast." You know, so yeah, so I counted cadence a little bit fast, but it was fun. Everything was fun.
I've never thought of someone who was on the shorter end making the marching too fast, because you're counting off left, right, according to your own pace. With shorter legs, that's faster.
Right.
That's interesting. You would think, I mean, typically I think of like taller people walking faster, right? Because you cover more ground with each step. But in this situation, you're cut. It's just how many steps you're taking and making them all go even quicker.
Right. Yeah. And it was amazing too, you know, because back then maybe I was better being a morning person, but there were times when I'd hear the alarm go off and I haven't even been out of bed yet. And I'd have like 2 minutes to get up and get dressed, you know, and get out there.
Wow. Switching gears again. What are two things from the message last Sunday that made you think, sounded good, or caused you to react in some way?
So one of them was when he was talking about waiting is the chance to grow in our faith.
Okay. You want to expand upon that at all?
Well, it brings me to the second one.
Okay.
Because the second one, like reading the word.
Yeah.
You know, if you're waiting, sit and just, if you don't have nothing to do, get the Bible out.
Read his word. Yeah.
And my second one was to devote more time to reading the word, no matter what my day is going to be like or what may be in store for me that day, I'm going to make time to read the word.
And that's an important thing to do.
And I have started that already.
Yeah. And how's it going?
It's going good.
Good.
I found a reading plan with Bible Gateway reading plan.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm following that.
Is it a one-year plan, couple-year plan?
This one is a one-year.
Okay.
To read the whole Bible.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Spend time in that word, grow closer to the Lord, knowing what his plan is for you and everybody else. Get that direction, but also that assurance that he's with you and all
things. Just relearning, you know, just reading the first few 6-8 chapters of Genesis. It's like,
yeah,
wow, you know, God created the world and, you know, earth in 7 days, but then he destroyed everybody.
Yeah.
Except for Noah and Noah's immediate family.
Yep.
And the animals, two of each, that he put on the ark. And then it's like a whole recreation had to develop with just Noah and his descendants.
Yeah. It's something we often forget about, right? Like we all think about being descendants of Adam, but also of Noah.
Exactly. And initially, descendants of Adam, because he was the first, and then Noah, but then everyone before Noah.
Yeah, gone.
Yeah.
It was a great message. I think a lot of folks needed to hear God's encouragement of being patient.
Exactly.
And waiting on his time and how he is working. He's active. And when you're waiting, it's a good time to focus on him and learn more about how he's working and how he's active.
Because it's not easy to be patient these days.
Yeah.
Not easy at all.
Debbie, you said you already have an answer for this when I talked to you on Sunday. You want to share it with me. I said, no, wait. I want it to be fresh in my ears the first time I hear it on the podcast. And so the question is, if you could be a dog, what kind would you be and why?
And what came to my head right away was the Basset Hound.
The Basset Hound. I would not have guessed that. So please tell me why.
Well, and I'm not quite sure why, but the Basset Hound has always been my favorite dog.
Okay.
I actually purchased the Basset Hound, two of them.
Really?
When I got out of the service.
Okay.
I had papers for them.
Yeah.
But they're just, especially as puppies, they're just adorable.
They're super cute. The big old ears.
They're Plus, the Basset Hounds are loyal.
Yeah.
Charming. I love the way they bay.
So they bay, when they yeah. bay. So you love it.
I just loved the baying. I just love the baying.
So if you love the baying, that means you are a Basset Hound person, because that could be annoying to a lot of people.
Exactly, exactly. They have strength and stamina, their ears too, and their mournful eyes and wrinkled brow. They're just my favorite.
Just your favorite.
Yeah.
So not because you identify with being a Basset Hound anyway, other than the fact that you really like them, like they're your favorite breed.
I really like them, yes. And I don't know if I can relate to being one. I guess I don't know if you can consider me charming, but...
I think so.
That's one of their, assets. And plus, they're loved by pretty much everybody.
They really
worldwide.
Are.
You know, they're just best.
You rarely see someone... see a Basset Hound and be like, ugh.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, unless they're not dog people, then they might
right,
do
exactly.
that.
Yeah.
Well, Debbie, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your day and coming and joining us on the podcast. Appreciate it.
And I enjoyed myself being here. Thank you.